First, I'd like to say I'm really happy I have this opportunity. So thank you very much, organizers. Thank you. So in this talk, I want to focus on the key property of black holes. That is, black holes evaporate. So from this point of view, I want to address this question: what is a black hole in quantum mechanics? This should be the key question in this workshop, right? To consider this question, from now, we will reconsider the time evolution of four-dimensional spherical symmetric collapsing matter. That is, after this object collapses, what happens? Horizon is formed or not? Here, the important point is, generically, particle creation occurs in time-dependent metric. So even in considering formation process, we need include the back reaction of evaporation. So maybe people believe such back reaction effect is negligible because evaporation is so slow. But I will show from now, this is not. So first, I'd like to explain on our basic idea by three steps, which is a self-consistent argument. This is step one. Let's imagine spherically symmetric black hole is evaporating in the vacuum. So this black hole is shrinking and the geometry is changing time dependently. Okay. Then we add spherical thin shell or a particle to the black hole like this. Of course, it approaches the black hole. Then, if we consider both dynamics of gravity and the matter, that happens. The answer is remarkable. The shell or particle will never reach the horizon. I will show this. First, we set the geometry. This is a shrinking short-suit radius. In my talk, I use notation A to represent short-suit radius. Okay? And of course, the lifetime is, as usual, so long. And the Hawking radiation exists here to represent this non-vacuum region. We describe here naively by time-dependent short-suit metric. This is just naive discussion. Here, radius decreases following Stefan-Boltzmann law of Hawking temperature. Okay, and here, sigma represents intensity of Hawking radiation, which is order one quantity and proportional to h bar, g, and n. N is degrees of freedom of matter fields in the Lagrange. Okay? So, but at this stage, I don't claim yet this is the solution. Okay? I just use it as one candidate background. Okay? At this stage, it's enough.
Excuse me, is the shell freely falling?
Freely falling. Okay.
But there is no shell here yet.
Okay, yeah, here, here. Yeah,
come.
Okay, okay. Okay. In this geometry, shell or particle moving like this, I will show from now. The point is, near the short-suit radius, any particle behaves light-like. I mean, a particle with any angular momentum or mass behaves like this. This is an equation motion. And we can solve this equation motion. This is a solution. The point is, this term corresponds to effect of a back reaction. This solution tells the particle approaches not A, but A plus 2 sigma over A. The time scale is order A.
So what is T here?
What?
What is time?
Time is here.
Is this
Okay.
So this is time and scene from the outside.
Yes,
so
exactly.
This is proper time.
Okay. So we can understand our this solution physically like this. Close up here, and the particle approaches the black hole in the time scale A. However, at the same time, Schur-Schild radius itself decreases by this amount due to emission of radiation. The point is, this distance is physical in this sense. That is, the proper length of this distance is larger than Planck scale if there are many degrees of freedom among these. So this means...
In this case, it's an important comment. This is the new Planck scale. So if you actually, the fact that we introduce many degrees of freedom also changes the effective Planck scale. So that should not be considered as a parametrically longer length scale than the Planck.
I see. So in the... in my talk, on this formalism, this discussion is in effective field theory description. Okay, so if you assume this condition, then the discussion is consistent. I will show you. So anyway, on this analysis means the shell is physically outside the black hole.
Just to clarify, so if you forgot about the Hawking radiation and the back reaction, and you considered null in falling matter, this is what just an Eddington-Finkelstein diagram turned on its side. So it would go at basically a 45-degree line through the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're saying there's a large deviation that comes from the Hawking radiation.
Yes, exactly.
Even though the dA by dt for the Hawking radiation is pretty small.
But if you set sigma equals zero, your thing would just go to the right, but it would take an infinite amount of time to go to the horizon, but that's just infinite coordinate.
Certainly that's a coordinate choice.
So it's just in this coordinate, then it doesn't get to the horizon.
Oh, okay, but be careful. And to understand the motion of the particle, this coordinate is complete, right?
But it's singular when A equals R. The coordinates are singular, the usual.
I know. But this, so to describe this motion of the particle, this coordinate is sufficient because physically the particle is outside the black hole. As long as black hole keeps evaporating. This is the point.
Okay.
So,
I think maybe you're saying it takes infinite time to get it, or maybe you're saying it's not. You're saying it's never actually get even at infinite time.
No. Be careful. So now we assume black hole evaporate in finite time. So this is different from just static black hole. So essentially, dynamics of gravity is important in this analysis. And from now, I will show this discussion is self-consistently satisfied.
But it'll cross at a finite proper time. If you follow the time along the shell, it'll cross the horizon at a finite proper time.
No. So because this formalism is covariant, so you can use any time coordinate, right? Any.
Well, I agree, a scene from the outside.
So this is a step two. After the shell come close to the black hole, the shell itself starts to emit radiation. We will see this later. And interestingly, this composite system of the shell and black hole behaves like a larger black hole. That is, the total radiation is equal to that from a large black hole. We will see later. This is a final step. Continuous collapsing matter. Here, please forget the black hole. We consider collapsing matter this way. And we assume this is spherically symmetric, then we can regard this approximately as many shells like this. And if we focus on one shell like this, then we can apply the previous discussion. That is, if the shell evaporates or is usual black hole, then the shell never crosses the horizon. So we can apply this discussion to each shell recursively. Then we can see this collapse, this collapsing matter just shrink and become a dense object, this one. And the matter and the radiation is distributed inside, and no trapped region and no horizon appear. And the surface position is determined intensity of the Hawking radiation here. And this surface is close to usual Schwarzschild radius. So this object looks like ordinary black hole from the outside.
Why do you keep saying the shell has a Hawking radiation when it is not inside the horizon? How does it Hawking radiate?
Yes, I will show later. Just a moment, please. Okay. So I like to say any object we recognize as black hole should be such an object. This is our basic idea. So this is a Penrose diagram. Collapsing matter comes and the Hawking radiation. And this region corresponds to a quantum black hole. To prove this story, we will solve this self-consistent equation. Of course, metric is classical and matter is quantum. This energy momentum tensor has both contributions from collapsing matter and radiation. How can we solve this system? Step one, we construct a candidate metric by a simple model. At this stage, this is just candidate, okay? And next, we evaluate expectation value of energy momentum tensor, the obtained metric. And three, we put this equality and determine the self-consistent metric. This is our program. Okay. Let's start to step one. This is a continuous spherical matter, so we can model this as many null shells like this. Using spherical symmetry, we can represent each region by each virtual metric, this one. Virtual metric is naively time-dependent Schwarzschild metric with outgoing null energy flow. So each virtual metric has its own Schwarzschild radius and time coordinate UI. In this way, we include back reaction from collapsing matter and radiation force. Of course, the center is still flat. To solve this system, we assume these ansatz. Each shell behaves like the ordinary evaporating black hole in this sense, and each shell has already come close to this position. These ansatz are motivated by our basic idea. And using this ansatz and taking continuum limit in this sense, okay? So AI is Schwarzschild radius for each virtual metric, this one, and taking continuum limit, okay? So then we get this candidate metric. The outside is virtual metric here, And of course, time dependent. The interior is non-trivial one. This is static one. So, and the total object evaporating like this by ansatz, and the total radius is given by this. And using this metric, we can check no horizon or no trapped region. So I write comment on physics. This exponentially large red shift is important because from the outside, this the interior is frozen in time. So in this sense, this object looks almost black. But in the local time, each shell falls. This is the physics. So step two, we consider evaluation of expectation value. To do that, we consider interior region. This is the interior metric. So this is the static and the spherical symmetry. So expectation value also should be so. And then here we use, so here we remember, we have used bijometric to construct candidate metric. So we can have this condition, UV component zero. Of course, this condition is artificial, but however, we can remove this condition later. So anyway, from now we have to determine these two unknown components, UU and theta theta. To determine these, I use the definition of a trace. This one. So by this condition, we have simple one. The another one is conservation law. As you know, conservation law is essentially same as equation of motion of matter fields. So in the integrating this equation,
because it had
we
only
got this
one participant for 30 minutes.
And this term corresponds to boundary term from here. So in the center is flat, so this vanishes. So we got the result. All components are expressed in terms of trace. To determine the trace part, for simplicity, we consider conformal matters. That is, our matter Lagrangian is conformally invariant. Okay. So then, the trace is determined by four-dimensional Weyl anomaly. As you know, generally, anomaly is state independent. In this case, this anomaly is determined by just curvature. And using our candidate metric, we got this one. So far, we have obtained all the component like this. On the other hand, the candidate metric gives Einstein tensor like this. So let's compare each one like this. Then, if we identify sigma satisfy this one, then Einstein equation is satisfied. So this is the self-consistent solution. Let's check validity. So first, curvature is given by this one. This means if C coefficient is large, then no singularity. And two, energy condition. So energy density is positive, but the important point is tangential pressure. This tangential pressure is order one. So this large pressure can support this object against gravitational force. And the third one is Hawking radiation. In this background metric, we can solve Heisenberg equation in Ikonov approximation. We can get Planck distribution. Of course, temperature is time dependent. And this is the final slide about information and entropy. And in this picture, radiation comes from the matter region. So the matter and the radiation should interact. Indeed, we can estimate the scattering time scale like this. So this mechanism may be used for information recovery or precise analysis of echo signal. And the another interesting one is entropy. So by some thermodynamical discussion, we can evaluate entropy density inside the black hole. And integrating over volume, then area law reproduced exactly. This result tells information should be stored inside. This is summary. Our quantum black holes are described by field theory with large C coefficient. This is a self-consistent solution. And the sigma is given by this. This sigma determines Hawking radiation and the position of the surface. This is a Penrose diagram. I will finish. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the trouble is that lots of people have calculated the stress energy tensor outside a black hole of mass much bigger than the Planck thing, and it doesn't look at all like Vigia close to the thing. So, I mean, your ansatz for what the stress tensor looks like is nowhere near what people have actually calculated. And when you actually calculate, I mean, you find it looks just like a very slowly evolving black hole, and you can get perturbations of the metric. I have a paper with all Rahimi and Zaunis calculating the slightly perturbed metric as it evaporates. But it looks just like the standard picture. I mean, this picture is not at all realistic because this form of the stress energy tensor is not at all what people actually calculate near a black hole.
Yes, because such a calculation is not self-consistent.
Yeah, it is self-consistent because it's very slowly evaporating, so there's a very slow change. There's only a tiny change for what you would get outside Schwarzschild because when the black is very big, it's very slowly. In other words, if you took the limit of your sigma going to zero, your stress tensor would not be at all like what you get in the actual calculations.
So I recommend this solution is non-perturbative solution with respect to Planck constant H bar.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just assuming the Vigia is not at all. I mean, it looks closer to a Vigia with ingoing negative energy radiation. That's a closer approximation. That's not quite right either. But saying that it's outgoing, you're basically saying that the radiation is produced right outside the shell and it goes out as null radiation. But actually, the stress energy tensor builds up as the modes go out to R equals 3m. There's very little stress tensor very close to the right. Well, it builds up. The flux builds up, and you really only get the Hawking flux once you get outside this potential barrier. So it's self-consistent, but very wrong assumption as to the form of the stress tensor.
Yeah, so I think a related comment, you can reduce using spherical symmetry to a 1+1 dimensional model of gravity. There you can just explicitly completely solve for the stress tensor because it's determined by the conformal anomaly. This is something we looked at a number of years ago, and you do get a description of the evaporation, you know, the effect of the back reaction where you do have the infalling matter cross the horizon. You get something along the lines that Don was just saying. There's a small correction to, you know, the black hole evolves, the horizon shrinks, et cetera, but, you know, matter clearly crosses the horizon. It seems to me that the difference, or at least a difference in what you're doing, is you have somehow this large tangential pressure. But it's hard to understand how that could be right, and I'm wondering if you have some other explanation of, you know, where that would come from. I think, again, in line with Don's comments as well, you know, why would you expect such a large contribution there? Because otherwise, I think it's just like the 1+1 dimensional cases, which have been understood to do the right thing.
Thank you very much. So, and I like to say, and as you know, in 4 dimension and 2 dimension, energy conservation law, the structure of energy conservation law are different. And indeed, to get this tangential pressure, you have to integrate over angular direction, angular momentum in or scalar field, right?
How can we see that? Is there an independent argument that should be large?
This comes from a four dimension now wire memory.
Well, you've made some assumptions, I think, as well in finding the stress tensor. I haven't followed all of the details, but I think this is probably one thing to look at and try to understand, is there really a reason this should be large?
Okay.
Because the theory predicts that for the different fields, so you don't get enormous values for a CW. I mean, they're of order unity for the.
Yeah. But I assume CW is large here.
Right. So, but that's just different. I mean, people actually can calculate it for like these photons and conforming invariant fields like photons. You can actually calculate it, and it's of order unity.
But it depends on your Lagrangian, right?
Sorry.
It depends on your Lagrangian.
Right. So I'm just saying, if we take the ordinary matter we know about, and plug it in there, then we get values that are not enormous. So you must be assuming some other theory for matter that's very different from what our actual universe has.
But we still don't understand. So because we don't know the interior, right? Of the black hole.
Maybe these are fuzzballs, that this is how they look like.
It's a large number of conformal fields. It's just like Stravinsky's model of inflation. And if you do it for, that also resolves in a similar way.
Well, sorry, in the 1+1 dimensional models, that's exactly what we did, is we considered a large number of fields, conformal fields. So, and you still have, the familiar story of black hole forms and evaporates.
Yes.
You have a trace or conformal anomaly, you have a trace of a stress. How do you separate the different components of team union? Theta.
This one?
Yeah.
Sorry, what is your question?
You have just the trace of the stress. So how do you separate the different components of
the
sensor and put it in Einstein equation.
In this page, I expressed all the components just trace by trace here and here using here, right? So if you know the trace part, you can get like this. And transforming your coordinate, then you got this one. Logic is so simple.
Trace anomaly has quadratic powers of curvature, and it gives it should give m squared over r to the power 6. Something like that, but here is 1/r².
Okay, I understand, okay. So here, trace anomaly evaluated like this. 1/ sigma square, and here, if sigma is given by here, then C coefficient appear.
Maybe we discuss
Yeah.
Thank you.